This morning I would like to lead you further in our study about evangelism. As you know, for the last few months we were studying that subject, and this morning during Sabbath school we continue studying. And I was studying this week, and one scripture reference, one text from the Bible came a little bit more alive to me, and I said maybe I should preach about that scripture a little bit and go deeper, because when you have a discussion with Sabbath school classes, sometimes we can't go too much because it's so much material. Peter was very good this morning, and but we know that so much material, and we are presenting just few thoughts from the scripture. Many other we have to study at home. But I've chosen one text just to enlighten a little bit more, and we can maybe be committed more in order to spread the good news of Jesus to others. Because why that good news are given to us is not just selfishly to keep for us, but also to be generous and to tell others about Jesus Christ and His love and what He is doing for us. I entitled Beautiful Feet. Beautiful Feet. Do you know that your feet can become beautiful despite if they are long, small and short? If you allow God to use them in order to bring the good news of salvation to your friends. Doesn't matter, can be young or old, can be beautiful if we are using them for good. If we are using them to glorify God. You know, bringing the good news to other people, it have to fill us with the joy. It's like knowing the cure of cancer. And imagine that you know the cure of cancer and you're keeping for yourself, not willing to give the recipe to your neighbors because you know that some other people are suffering from the same disease. You know, and you're keeping that secret for yourself, not willingly share with others. What people will say about you? What kind of character you are? What kind of man you are? You know? How you come? Why you haven't been willing to share? People will criticize us. You know, that's how we got the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's God has revealed Himself to us in our lives, and we are responsible of sharing that good news to others as well, in order other people to come to the knowledge of Jesus. I would like to invite you to open book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 7. Isaiah 52:7. Beautiful text, very prophetic. You know, Isaiah, it's many people think it's like Old Testament gospel, because he prophesies so much about Jesus. And in chapter 52 verse 7, you can read from the screen on your own Bible, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him or her who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's from this passage I've chosen the title Beautiful Feet. How beautiful are the feet of the person who are doing what? Who is bringing good news. What good news means? In ordinary language, good news is something which, you know, bring you that somebody find something precious, or somebody, I don't know, something which can inspire you, can lift your spirit. That's good news. In a spiritual sense, the good news is the gospel. That there is a peace between the human fallen race and the heaven through Jesus. We don't need to be any more enemy of Jesus. Jesus came and saved us, you know. Beautiful feet of the people who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Zion, it's another name for people of Israel, for the Jews, for the mountain, for the Jerusalem. You know, when I believe Prophet Isaiah was inspired by God, by when he wrote these prophetic words. In many times, the people of Israel become a slaves of other nations. But God has delivered them. Not because they deserve deliverance, but by the grace of God, he delivered, he forgave their sins. And he called them out to come back and to form, to come to Jerusalem and worship him. And now the prophets were those people who were sent or as a messengers to the people of Israel. He said, your God has forgiven you. He is calling you back. And they were bringing the good news of salvation. That there is a peace, there is a something, better things are coming. And people were receiving that news with an open heart, with a joy. Finally, we are going to be again with the Lord. Finally, our sins are forgiven. Finally, you know, our prayers were answered. Those thoughts were very pleasant. They brought good feelings amongst God's people. You know, whenever a person is delivering good news, when bringing news which can uplift or encourage other, your feet become beautiful. I believe that God raised our church as well in this beautiful town to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this city, to the citizens around. You know, God has planned, He put in your plan long time before you become aware that you are child of God. And He wanted us to use us in His holy instruments in order to bring the gospel to the many families and people around us. You know, the most eloquent speaker in all the world is useless if he has idle feet. Do you agree with that statement? The most charming person who may possess a great wealth of Bible knowledge is useless if he or she is unwilling to take the message of Christ crucified to the lost sinners. You know, it's good to have a light, but in the spiritual sense, we are responsible for the light. Whenever you have something, then you become responsible. If you don't have that, God doesn't take account of that. But when we have received something, when we have a knowledge of Jesus, then we are responsible to that knowledge, how we can use that knowledge for spiritual growth as well, but also for spreading the gospel. You know, we can have a singer. He can have a beautiful voice, but never sing. What kind of benefit? For the preacher, for the person, for the knowledge we possess, we are not willing to share that good news. That's not good way. In many cases, when Jesus performed a miracle to the person, God says, go and share with your family, with your friends. Tell others. Because other people will be inspired. And also personal testimonies, which I think it can be a more stronger gospel than many other theories which we can share with others. You know, maybe we'll say I'm not evangelist, but when you talk about evangelism, we said the feet of evangelists are beautiful. Why? Why the feet of evangelists are beautiful? Because they bring light into darkness. We are reading the stories about beautiful people, or missionaries, or evangelists who are traveling in many parts of the world. They are bringing the knowledge of Jesus. When especially, you know, then the communists fall apart in former Yugoslavia when I was there time, or in Russia as well. You know, when the doors open for the gospel. Many missionaries from all around the world, they were rushing in those countries. Why they were rushing to those countries? To bring what? Good news of Jesus, to give them people a choice to choose. I grew up as a child not far from Albania. For 50 years, Albania was a country not 100% communist, it was maybe 200%. All the churches were closed and made from the church of bunkers. The military put the resources there. And after 50 years, suddenly the crack in the communists. The door was open. And all Christians coming from all four corners of the world, coming there to bring the good news of salvation to those hungry and thirsty people. They brought light into the darkness. The darkness in disbelief, the darkness of atheism, the darkness of sin. And when they brought the gospel, the love of Jesus, the commitment of Jesus, the good news of coming of Jesus in that spiritual darkness to the, in order people to see the beauty of Jesus' character. That's one of the things what made the feet of the evangelists beautiful, because they're bringing the light into the darkness. And many people appreciate that. Many people sacrifice their means, sacrifice even some of them their reputations, even some maybe lives, in order to bring light into the darkness. The feet of the evangelists are beautiful because they bring unity to a divided world. This whole world is divided in two camps. One is into the camp of darkness. You know who is the chef? I don't want to point. I don't want even to mention his name. And another want and struggle to live according to Jesus' expectation. And the evangelists, they want to bring the unity. That means they say that you don't need to stay in the sight of darkness anymore. Let's move to another side. It's light. We need to be under Jesus' umbrella. They bring the unity to the divided world. This world which is doing all kind of things to divide families, to divide people, even churches in this world. Also, the feet of the evangelists are beautiful because they proclaim what? Salvation. Teaching people they are lost without. They, you know, how you can ask to be saved unless you recognize that you're lost, that you need help? It's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach people, to make them aware they are sinners. They need a Savior. They need forgiveness. And the feet of the evangelists are going around and they proclaim salvation. They are pointing that without Jesus we are lost, and only through Him we can have a hope of eternal life. Bringing them salvation, the way how they can cross the bridge on another side and be saved. Evangelists, when I talk evangelists, I'm not always talking about those who are full professional evangelists, but according to Jesus, every one of us is evangelist. Evangelion. Gospel. That's originally how evangelist. The person who is taking the gospel. You can be evangelist in your home, in your neighborhood, in your village. You can be even in other foreign countries. But we are missionaries and evangelists in our circle as well. To God, there is nothing more beautiful than feet that carry the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it is across the street or across the ocean. The reward is the same. The joy is the same. Maybe sometimes there is a certain part of the world where it's more difficult to bring the good news, because the darkness is so thick. In certain parts of the world, it's a darkness of the sin. It's so thick. People are corrupted. People are, and the prejudice so much. People are superstitions believe, and in the supernatural world. And sometimes the darkness is so thick. You need a lot of light to pour out to see a little bit change. In certain parts, the darkness is not so thick. People are responding more easier to the gospel. But doesn't matter which way. Your feet can be beautiful when you carry the gospel, whenever God calls you, in your home, in your neighborhood, or even outside, in other parts of the world as well. In the book of Acts of Apostles, page 109 says, all over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. Do you believe the truthfulness of that statement here? Many people around. Sometimes we are not aware. There is seekers under the fig tree. In many fig trees, or any tree which is in Hamilton or around, who are secretly praying for the Messiah, for the revelation of Jesus in their personal life. You know, 2 weeks ago, somebody around Bendigo, his wife or his daughter had something to do in Vulnerable, and when he arrived, he called us. I was not home, my wife, she was home, and the gentleman, 50 plus, he said, I would like to speak with some of your elders or pastors about some of the beliefs, what your church believes. I was away, it was a gentleman, my wife, she was hesitating to go with the church with him, and she was thinking, okay, who to call? Another elder said, no, one lives about 12 apostles, 75 k's away, difficult for him to pick him from the farm and come. And she called another younger fellow, and she went there as well, opened the church, and these gentlemen from our church, they spent 1.5 hours discussing about the gospel, about Jesus. He lives around Bendigo, but he was listening Faith FM radio there, and he had some questions to ask us. You know, and a few months before, another man who's listening as well and watching Hope Channel and 3ABN around Queensland, and he moved to Warrnambool. He got very old mom here, and he came, he said, I was watching this, and I was triggered with some of the messages, and I would like to meet with you. We met together in the church. This week was another gentleman who wanted, he said, what time is your worship service? Would like to come as well. I'm just saying that people, there is around people who are asking questions about Jesus. They want, as this statement says, people who are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in, or dealing with some doubts or disappointments, when we have a knowledge which God has gave us through the scripture in order to share with others, to bring the joy and the light in their personal lives, in order to praise the Lord as well later on. You know, the further says, the angel sent to Philip could himself have done the work for the Ethiopian. You know that story about chapter, 9 or 8, I think 8 in the book of Acts. But this is not God's way of working. It is His plan that men are to work for their fellow men. You know, Ethiopian was traveling, you know. He was a rich man from Ethiopia. And the Holy Spirit came in the vision in Philip and said, Philip, I've got a man for you. He is reading the book of Isaiah. I would like to send you there and to explain to him a little bit, because he can't understand. He doesn't understand what he's reading. And this statement says, Ellen White says, that the angels could become a man and explain to this Ethiopian, but instead of that he used Philip. God has a billions of angels around. They are waiting a command from Jesus to be sent out and to bring good news of salvation to the people. But He is not doing that yet. He is waiting for me and for you. You are Philip. You are Stephen or whoever from the today, in order to take that message to those who are thirsty and hungry for salvation. In Proverbs, book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. To win a soul for Jesus, according to the Bible, that's a wisdom. And we need wisdom for that as well. Sometimes takes ages, sometimes takes less time. Me as a minister, I have to say, I've been for witnessing for some people maybe during all my time when I was in the district, 4, 5, or even 7 years sometimes, and I couldn't want that person. But sometimes for 3 months, I was able to win somebody for Jesus. That is how things are working, you know. But the Bible says we have to plead for God to win souls for Him, because time is getting shorter and we are getting older. The sickness is coming. What we are capable to do today, nobody is guaranteed that we can do tomorrow or day after that. If we are waiting better days, according to the prophecy, we are not going to have many better days. I learned from many older people says, you know, oh, always yesterday was better than tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know, I thought, what they are talking about, you know, there's something wrong, but how I'm getting older, I start understanding that, you know, tomorrow's day will bring many surprises, many challenges, which sometimes it's very difficult to take them and to go through. But evangelism is not my gift. Okay, Pastor, you said the feet are beautiful, those who are taking the gospel and to bring around, but I can't see myself in doing that. That's not my gift. I'm the person sitting in the garage next to my fishing boat and just polishing every day. That's all what I think I can do all my life. Is it really? Are you sure that evangelism is not your gift? Does the Bible say only those who are gifted in evangelism can do evangelism? Are you exempt from sharing the gospel? I would like if you can come after the service to me with the Bible as a proof that you are exempt. I'm understanding that we all have to share responsibility in sharing the gospel. The Great Commission is given to everyone. John 9:4 says, Jesus says when he was on this earth, well, it was not so easy when Jesus was on this earth preaching the gospel. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. When Jesus says the night is coming, what he was talking about? What kind of night is coming and he can't work? In what kind? Yet, tough times, persecution, unpopularity, you know. The end of time when, you know. Yeah, you're right. That, yeah, it's a variety of options, but most of them are going do today because you are not safe for tomorrow. Tomorrow is not yours. Today, God has given. The night represents difficulties. The night can be a sickness you have. The night can be persecution, especially in that time. Financial difficulties, family difficulties. All kind of things will come just to stop you not to do. If you have opportunities, do now. Now it's right time now. Because tomorrow will be more difficult. Somebody mentioned this morning when if we are not doing God's job during the freedom time, we have to do in the difficult times, you know. I think he wanted to say to the 12 apostles, you know, my duty is and your duty to preach the gospel during our time. Because Jesus has saw the future. Through the prophetic eyes, he saw the difficulties will have people of God in order when they are going to be willing to preach the gospel. And you follow the scripture, go to the book of Acts, you will see that exactly that happened. Almost all 12 disciples, I think only John, all become martyrs, were killed because of Jesus and the gospel. Only John, the revelator one, according to the history of tradition, says that he passed away in a natural death. But all others were killed. If you go Paul, you know what's happened with Paul in Rome, Peter and many others. If you go to the later centuries as well. And it was never easy time and good time for spreading the gospel. You know, I grew up in the communist country and I was praying for, and I said, Lord, why am I have to live in that communist country when people are making laugh about you, when open the Bible, when see you are, you know, who are you, or something like that. Those in the Western countries, they are blessed, they can, you know, you can go to the church, you can, no problem going to the school with the friends around to laughing about you because you are Christian or something, going to church. But, you know, I was shocked when I came to Australia. when I saw that people are not using freedom and opportunities in good sense, in good way, and become, you know, a little bit not enough, warmth in that, and not passion enough in sharing the gospel. Because they used to have that for ages, and they took that freedom for granted, not appreciating that. But when I grew up, it was totally different. The laws were against you, and we still preach the gospel. When I remember as a child, first Sunday in the morning, we had a special meeting in the church hall. Everyone who wanted to go door knocking, bringing the literature to the people. Not everybody, that was one first Sunday, we will have a prayer at 8 o'clock in the morning, we will take Signs of the Times and Bibles and other literature, cards, and 2x2, we will go to the streets in the town or in the villages, and sometimes we were threatened by the police or other, and they will ask us, do you have a permission to go and sell those Christian books or to offer? Said, yeah, we got the permission. We didn't have the... And I opened the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. That's a great commission. Jesus said, go ahead, teach. I opened the Bible. He said, no, not that kind of document. Give me the government one. Get the government one. We didn't have a government one. We have to escape the police from other side in order not to be arrested and put in the prison. I know one young fellow who had his business. He was in one town. He was selling his own goods on the market. He got the table there, and aside he put Signs of the Times magazines and giving free. And what's happened? Under 18 young person was buying certain stuff from this man, and he said, I think that was a girl. She said, what is this? She said, a nice literature, would like one? She said, yeah, I would like color one. And she took home. And when the father noticed that it's a religious literature, he went straight away to the police. He said, my daughter was on the market, and look at what somebody gave to her. She was threatened. What, do you know who gave you? Yes, he was there. And next Thursday, because only Thursday that market was open, the police came and arrested our brother from the church, and he was put 3 months in the prison because he gave a Christian literature to the person. I'm just saying you that Jesus says, do things, preach the gospel during the day, because the night will come and you're not going to have that freedom. But we're enjoying freedom now, but for how long, we don't know. The message of salvation is the message of entire Bible. The Bible was written for two purposes. To learn how to be saved, and also to share with others how they can be saved. We are blessed with the knowledge, with the scripture, but also we have to, it's given not just for ourselves, but to be taken away. To save souls, in Testimonies, Volume 4 says, should be life work of everyone who professes Christ. We are debtors to the world for the grace given us of God, for the light which has shone upon us, and for the discovered beauty and power of truth. Very important statement. It's duty of all professed Christians. If you, when you accept Jesus Christ, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. Straight away. You're not fully follower of Jesus if you are not willing to share the love of Jesus with others. Jesus always put things together. Come and be. He extended the same grace to others as well. William Carey, do you know who was William Carey? He was a missionary to India. He said, I cobble shoes to pay expenses, but soul winning is my business. What he's saying? You can be carpenter, you can be farmer, you can be a bricklayer, you can be whatever business for living. But if you're Christian, your soul will be there in winning the souls. You will use all opportunities in order to bring the gospel. There was in my district, in Europe, and I was working as a pastor for 15 years, almost the same time I'm working now here. There was one man who was ordinary man, member of one church from our church. He had a sharpening tool to sharpen the knives and the tools for the people. He was traveling from village to village with that small tool. He will take on the donkey or whatever, and he will offer to the people through the street, you know. And people bring the knives or tools, whatever, and he will sharpen. But he was doing this for a living, but he was a missionary by heart. In every home, in every person who was coming out from house, he was seeing opportunity to bring good news to Jesus. Jesus. And there was the one man who was living in another town, but he came just for the weekend there. He was showing interest about spiritual talk. He gave address to our brother, and he brought a Bible to him in another town. There was those three brothers in that town. The youngest one became interested for the spiritual thing. Two others, leaders in the Communist Party in that town. Leaders in the Communist Party. When they find out that the youngest brother is interested for the religious stuff, they try all kind of things to scare him and to discourage him. I was a pastor there, 70 k's away, and I start studying every Wednesday morning Bible study at his home. And one day the two policemen came undercover, they came into the apartment there, they took me and the brother in the police car, they took me in the police station, and the same day they were put in the jail. Me for 45 days, and this brother, who was not even a baptized member, was not even a member, was a still contact person, he was for 30 days. Because I was studying the Bible outside of the church building, was against the communist regulations. I'm just saying, when this person, and now we got about 30-35 members there in that town, through the message came through this ordinary man who was doing sharpening the tools to others. You can see, when people have the desire to share the gospel, they will find a way. Whatever one's calling of life, his first interest should be to win souls for Christ. Desire of age. Whatever one's calling of life, his first interest should be to win souls for Christ. It's a very direct statement. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. General Booth, founder of Salvation Army, wrote, "Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is wealth. But Your Majesty, my ambition is the souls of men and women." He had a passion for the souls of women and men. Napoleon, the French general, once said, "The army who stays inside the trenches will never win the battle." We are God's army. If we are just satisfied sitting in our trenches, they can be our pews every Saturday. We are just satisfied sitting here. We are not going out of those trenches. We will never win the battle. I know it's warmer, it's comfortable here, it's much cold outside, and much challenges outside, but this is a calling. This is the calling. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. John Knox fervently prayed. You know who was John Knox? "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." He was a brave man. "Give me or die." He wanted to show to the Lord that he is serious about what his prayers, you know. And God gave him Scotland. Many hearts. Just a few words. I'm a little bit. I wish to have more time, but time is running so fast. Yeah, my grandfather, he was Orthodox at that time, and he was very spiritual man, and but he didn't know a little bit extra of the Bible. But one day, a person came far from the town. That was the 1940s, a long time ago, in Eastern Europe. Somebody who has a desire for the souls, he was asking people, "Do you know any religious person in your village?" He said, "Yeah, we know one. Give me the name." That was my grandfather. He traveled on the foot for 4 hours, crossing the river. That's a 20 k's. Now the bus is running 3-4 times during the day. That time no bus, no car, no taxi, nothing. And this man traveled 4 hours to the river to reach my grandfather, to find him as a spiritual person. He stayed 3 weeks with him, unannounced. He didn't call him, "Do you have an extra room for me?" He just came and he stayed there. And that was a difficult time. And in December, he was baptized in the frozen water. They broke the ice, and he was baptized with another friend who was a carpenter. They were very close friends. And they were first believers there. Then my father became my grandma, and today it's a beautiful church. Few pastors came as a result from that church, you know? Beautiful feet of that person who crossed, who traveled 4 hours to reach my grandfather there. It was maybe cold, it was costly time, but it was worth it. St. Augustine says, those who desire to save souls must not be afraid to get their feet dirty. Interesting, the Bible doesn't say blessed or beautiful mouth or lips or whatever. It says the foot. Because the foot in that time was the mind source of spreading the gospel. You have to travel on the foot. If you go today in Malawi, in Africa, people are always on the foot, everywhere, you know. If you have a bicycle, you're a rich man. They're still using that kind of bringing the news. All other things are more expensive. Dirty, feet dirty. Today we got better way of spreading the gospel. You can talk to your friends when you have a breakfast. You can meet them. You can use Facebook or mobiles. There are so many radios, TV stations. We can spread the gospel, but the personal contact is the best one. In Romans chapter 10, 13 to 15 says, Paul says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." We are expecting people to come to the Lord Jesus, but somebody has to take to bring the gospel. How the person can bring the gospel if haven't been sent? You know that there is a certain things. There is a certain what we study in the lesson to releasing, seeing the opportunity, and utilizing opportunities and releasing the energy, funds, or people towards reaching those outside. And because the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I believe that every one of you have a favorite, a pastor, missionary, who brought you to the knowledge of Jesus. And doesn't matter what kind of person can be, for all around the world can be the worst person, for you is the best person. Why? You feel obligated to respect because he brought the knowledge of Jesus to you. Even we are saved by grace, but still God used you and me or other person as an instrument to bring, you know? And we have a respect. And I think those people need to be respected because they put effort and energy, even of sometimes they spend their own funds or time. But, you know, that's not normal. Because beautiful feet are those who are bringing the good news to the people in order to be saved. Where are the men and women with beautiful feet who will carry the news of God's peace and salvation today to the inner city soup kitchens, people who are hungry, to drug rehab centers, to the prisons, to the schools, to the centers of businesses and industry, to the hospitals, to the retirement homes, to the stress and highways, to the streets and highways, the villages and cities. So many people are everywhere. They are hungry and thirsty. Somebody who can lift their spirit towards God. Somebody can bring them knowledge of Jesus. Everywhere. Soup kitchens. We got in vulnerable every Tuesday afternoon for 1 and 2 hours soup kitchen. And people are coming. People are coming, some of them just for the bread and soup or whatever, but some people are coming just to find a friend. Some of them are more open for the spiritual interest as well. Daniela is running for 12 weeks a discovery program. Every Tuesday night, 12 persons are coming from community who are struggling with addiction, drugs or other things, and they are coming and they try to find a way how they can get out of that of those addictions. So one lady with the alcohol, another with the drugs, and there is a people around, they are waiting for us to respond. Where are those people with the beautiful feet? Where are the men and women whose beautiful feet will carry justice to the oppressed, food to the starving, aid to the war-ravaged nations of the world? And where the men and women whose beautiful feet will carry them to the 2,300 people, groups around the world for whom there is still no translation of the Bible. Maybe still are living without reach of the Bible and need voluntaries, need people who can respond. How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are your feet? Some people's beautiful feet are stuck in the block of concrete, in a block of fear. Fear can keep you strong and doesn't give you freedom. But love can cast out the fear, the Bible says. Trust God and you will be released of that fear in order to take the gospel. Other people's beautiful feet are bound by shackles in their daily home activities. They are some blocked with a circle of events in everyday cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, and they gone another day, and they have no time, so called, to go out and bring the good news of salvation. They are bound by shackles. Other people who are too busy getting a pedicure, they're too much like this man polishing the boat for fishing for 10 years. He haven't taken that boat finally where it belongs, you know. Too much preparation and where is the final time we can go out? Which year? Which month? Other people who either are crippled or think they are crippled. Said, I can't move. But if you can't move, pray to the Lord. He can perform miracles. Jesus is a miracle man he already healed the crippled people. Do you know that? If you feel crippled, then God can transform your body, give you new energy in order to reach others. There are many people who wonder what difference it would really make. One gentleman, he said, I try many times. I said, you try another man, once more. Like disciples. Jesus, we try so many times during the night to catch a fish and nothing. But Jesus says, let's cast this time on another side. And you know, try. Maybe you can make difference in one person's life. Before I'm closing, just would like to close about Jesus. Think about the feet of Jesus for a moment. Because we were talking about the beautiful feet. I would like you to ask a question to all of you. How can God soften our hearts? How can He give us a soft heart that would even move our still feet? Think about the feet of Jesus for a moment. Picture the scene in your mind. A poor woman came to Jesus. She was so moved by Jesus that she washed His feet with her tears. She kissed His feet. She anointed them with oil. Jesus' feet. He used His feet to bring blessings and the good news to the human race. He had a dirty feet. He has to go all around Palestine in order to bring the good news. He didn't spare His feet one moment because He loved us. It was in those same feet that a Roman spike was driven. The feet of Jesus were crucified on the cross. blood flowed from the feet of Jesus as the nail was driven into the cross. That blood was the price that Jesus paid so that the woman's sins would be forgiven. And when he rose from the dead, and Thomas, the disciple, doubted, Jesus showed him his hands and his feet. Those feet which he used them to bring the glory to his Father, and also blessings to bring and forgiveness to our sins. Thomas cried, "My Lord and my God!" Someday the whole world will be put under the feet of Jesus forever. He was bathing his feet in the blood of his enemies. He will restore this fallen world forever. The feet of Jesus were stricken for you. Will you say to him, "My Lord and my God"? If you do call him Lord, will you not obey him? Will you not set your feet apart for him? Jesus washed the feet of the disciples in the upper room, and today Jesus will wash the feet of Christians who have grown cold in their willingness to take the gospel to others. My dear brothers and sisters, I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be merciful to us, and may he give us an extra portion of the Holy Spirit in order that our feet or hands or mouth or ears, whatever God has given us, to be used for his glory and also to bring the salvation to others around us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, our merciful God, thank you, Lord, for your great love which you have showed in a special way, giving your only Son, Jesus Christ, to come from the heaven to this earth on the enemy territory and to give his precious life in order to save us from our sins. Oh Lord, we feel so privileged by having that light, the truth, but also Lord, we feel very responsible in order that great light and the truth to be shared with our friends, family members, from our friends, from our neighborhood, in our schools, in our workplaces, even Lord, if some of us maybe go in other countries as well. Lord, please, may the Holy Spirit equip us and help us in order to be good stewards of that knowledge of the gospel and to be used in order to bring many other people in closer relationship with you, Lord, as well. Forgive us, Lord, if we, as a group or individuals, maybe we come short in the fulfilling the Great Commission in our days. But thank you for your forgiveness, Spirit. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to go out, Lord, and to bring that good news of salvation to many others. May that duty is not to be a burden to us, but to be a way of a joyful experience when we see people drawn to you, when we see people's character change, when we see people reconcile with you and become ones like maybe they've been one with you in the past, but they need to reconcile again. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that privilege today. Thank you for choosing us in this world in order to go and to bring that new good news to others. And be with us, Lord, and continue to bless us in that kind of ministry. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen.